Hello and welcome to this week's message from Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
Tonight, I felt like bringing a message to you that is, again, very simple, but it'll get you thinking and possibly challenge some mindsets, maybe religious mindsets, but I believe it's important that we do think about what God wants to do with our lives. So tonight's message is called, What Does God Want Me to Do with My Life? What does God want me to do with my life? So many people think Christianity is just simply a set of rules. What can I do? What can't I do? Sadly, a lot of us, we probably have this sense of Christianity is just simply a whole lot of can't do's. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And it's almost to the point where I can't even have fun. And obviously, Ed's already communicated one of the values of your church, of the community here is we want to have fun. We want to make it about enjoying the presence of God, not enduring a religion that holds us back. So Christianity, what is it? Do we really know how to share with our friends what Christianity is? Everybody today has an opinion. Everybody thinks they know what it is. But tragically, a lot of people still think it's just a set of rules. It's just another religion. And I think it's important to ask ourselves the question. So in the context of the message tonight, what does God want me to do with my life? I want to just maybe introduce you to the simplicity of what Christianity is. And so let's have a look at this. John 17, verse 3. And this is the way to have eternal life. This is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. So in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 3, very simply, this is what Christianity is, to know God, to know Him. A person who moves from knowing about God to knowing God. And I think we've got to sometimes allow ourselves to, even if you've been a believer for years, even if you feel like you know what it all means and what it all stands for, but maybe these people here tonight and they have no idea and they're kind of curious, but I'd kind of be open to the ideas of what it is and really does it. I kind of would love to know what God wants me to do with my life if there is a God. And I think that's fair enough and it's simple enough and it's something that we can all grasp, whether we've been serving Jesus for years or whether we're just kind of getting started. So think about it, moving from knowing about Him to knowing Him. We can know a lot about Harry Kane, but do you really know him? You can Google him, you can Wikipedia him, you can go to his fan website, or you can go to maybe the football club that he plays for, and you can get a whole lot of information about Harry Kane, but do you know him? Do you have lunch with him? Do you know what his favorite food is? Do you know which tattoo he got last month? Do you know him? And we could do that with all of us. We think we know something about someone, but really the truth is Christianity is not about knowledge. It's about relationship. I don't want to know about Joyce. I want to know Joyce. In other words, let me help you again understand Christianity is really about a relationship of intimacy. And a relationship that is intimate can transform you. So what is Christianity? It's about an intimate relationship with God. In other words, you can know Him and He can know you. He knows your name. And that's something that I believe is personal to all of us, is do you really see me? Do you know me? Do you want to know me? And I love that about God. This is the revelation of God. He does not need us, but He wants us. The other thing with us is that we need Him. But it's even better to say, yeah, I need you, but I want you more than anyone or anything else. You cannot replace Jesus in your life with someone or something else. And that's the tragedy of our culture, is we fill our lives up with all the things that we think are going to satisfy us. No one and nothing can satisfy you and me like Jesus. What we do is we try to meet needs in our life through other people. So wives tend to think a husband is going to meet every need in their life. And that's why everyone gets upset, because the truth is husbands are husbands. They're men. They're not mind readers. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? That was worth taking that right there. I came to church to discover this revelation. We can't read your mind. We're not that good. We're good, but we're not that good. Can any men in the room say amen? We are not mind readers. But what I'm trying to say here is, all right, I'll get away from that because it looks like it's dangerous territory. But really what I'm saying is to move from the picture to the person. Christianity is about moving from the picture to the person. I don't want a picture of Joyce. I actually want Joyce. I want the real Joyce. In other words, I don't want a picture of God. I actually want the real God. And I understand why sometimes the picture's easier. The picture doesn't talk back to you. Whereas the person talks back to you and corrects you. But are you willing to move from the religion to the relationship? I think we've got to be honest with ourselves. In my city in Berlin, or where we get to live and call home now, and I'm sure it's probably true of the UK as well and at this part of the world, but people are not really wanting to be religious with their lives. They tend to say, I'm not religious. The truth is, we can be religious about anything. My dad's a golf player and he's religious about it. And he's committed with his tithes and offerings to the local golf club. He's been paying it faithfully for 40 years. He's committed to all the sponsors and all the wonderful people that supply the golf industry and the golf world. Like, I mean, it's his religion. It's his religion. It's his community. It's his church, if you can call it that. And so we can turn anything into a religion. But I want to encourage you to think about moving from the religion to the relationship. Or let me give you another example. Maybe moving from the image to the presence. Moving from the image of God to the presence of God. And the reason I want to say that to you is because, again, what does the world think Christianity is? Everyone else seems to be very quick to give an opinion what Christianity is. But really, the more important thing tonight is, do you know what Christianity is? If someone was looking, someone was curious, if someone wanted to know why you believe what you believe, why you commit a glorious weekend in the sun and you spend all weekend in a small building, kind of in the sense of in a hot, stuffy building all weekend, why would you do that when you could have been in the glorious country of Prestonshire, whatever you call it? What's it called? Lancashire! The greatest shire in all the land. That's what Andy told me today. But listen, think about it. Do you want to move from the image to the presence? Do you want to move from the picture to the person? And I think Christianity is simply, and that's what John 17 says, it's about knowing God. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you talk to him? Does he talk to you? Can you walk with God? Can he walk with you? In other words, that's what Christianity is. It's an intimate relationship with Almighty God. Blows our minds. If you went to work tomorrow and they asked you, what did you do yesterday? I learned to talk to God. I learned that God talks to me. Now, obviously, people would go, what? And think you're crazy. But he does want to talk to you. He has been speaking to you. And it's not weird cuckoo stuff. I don't recommend telling your boss tomorrow, hey, I'm learning to hear God's voice. I mean, people don't understand it when it's presented that way. But what I'm saying is, if you write your notes down tonight and just write one thing about this weekend, one thing that stood out to you. And let's say next week you had a little book and you said, I'm just going to write one thing that next weekend spoke to me. And just did it for the next 3 months. And at the end of the 3 months, you just put pause. Got your book out, got a coffee out, got whatever it is you like to drink, and you sat down and you just went back over 3 months, you would go, OMGGGG, double G-G-G. Oh my golly, golly, gosh. Golly, golly, gosh. God is speaking to me. Because it's shocking. It is. It's amazing. It's right there. You wrote it down. You wrote it down. You wrote it down. Someone spoke. Pastor Ed spoke. Someone else spoke. And it's amazing how you can have a diversity of speakers. And yet, why is it that through all these different people, God just knew how to speak to my heart? So what I'm trying to say is don't feel uncomfortable when the reality is that God wants to speak to you. And sometimes we've just got to remind ourselves it is simple because God didn't want to make it complicated. So let's go on a bit of a journey here and let's really ask the question tonight, what does God want me to do with my life? And I think it's about knowing God. It's about moving from the picture. Let me say this. When you know God and you begin to know the why and the what, He will help you with all the other details of your life. So, you know, when it comes down to the why and the what, let me just say it this way, simple way. God doesn't want His plan for your life to be a mystery. He doesn't want you to be cloudy and fuzzy about His purposes for your life. So let's think about these things. Let's honestly ask ourselves, God has not hidden His purpose from our lives. God is more interested in who you're becoming more than who you marry and where you live. We put so much emphasis sometimes on the will of God, the call of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God for my life, and who am I going to marry, and who's the will of God? Is she the right one? Is he the right one? And we get all in a frenzy about the will of God and getting it wrong and getting it right. And I guess we put pressure on ourselves. We sang a song tonight, No Pressure on Me. But we put ourselves under pressure when it comes to who we're going to marry, where we're going to live, and what job do we take. And I'm telling you now, simply tonight, there's going to be a whole lot of freedom come your way about simply understanding your future is not a mystery when it comes to what God has for you. So let's take away some of the mystery. Let's take away some of the fuzziness tonight. And I think it's a simple thing, and that's what I would love to try and put a cap on for this weekend and believe God that you're going to go out with some, just, you know, a greater sense of liberty, a greater sense of freedom, a greater sense of joy, a greater sense of expectancy, and your faith is growing and you're realizing the serving God is not limiting. It's actually incredibly releasing. Amen. So it's not a mystery. It's just simply this, that God has revealed things and we need to pay attention to it. So Colossians chapter 1 says this. Let me give you another one. I'll give you a few more verses just to try and get it up to 3 verses so you feel like we've read the Bible tonight. Colossians chapter 1 verse 26 to 29. The mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you. That's the mystery. So therefore you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. This is the substance of our message. We preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. We teach with a spirit of profound common sense so that we can bring each person to maturity. To be mature is to be basic. Christ, no more, no less. I love that because so often we think it's Jesus and Jesus and maybe something else. And I want you to know it's not. It's just Christ in you. Christ in me. And so here away, again, we're finding out that this is, again, Paul trying to help the church, you and I in the 21st century, to realize it's actually not a mystery. It's very simple. So I want to try and get some of the cloudiness out of your head today. Try and maybe knock off some religious baggage that you've picked up over the years. Or maybe simply set some of you up for an amazing start serving God for your future. But I love Acts 16 verse 3. Here's another verse for you. Acts chapter 16 verse 3. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself up to Him. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself to His keeping and you will be saved. And I think sometimes we just got to realize, get out of the way for what you think and entrust yourself to what He wants and what He desires for your life. Let me say it this way. Maybe you've got a great picture for your life. Maybe you once had a great picture for your life and the picture's pretty ruined. Maybe you had a great picture for your life and kind of had a good start and then suddenly, tragically, things happened to the picture. Maybe the picture's in smoke. Maybe you tore up the picture. Maybe you've given up on the picture for your life. But I'll tell you straight up tonight, there's no doubt about it. God's picture for your life is way better than your picture for your life. So whether the picture's been torn up, whether you've never allowed yourself to have a picture of your future, or maybe your picture's pretty good, but I'll still challenge any good picture you've got to God's picture for your life is always bigger, it's always better, and it's always healthy in the long run. So let me just kind of break this down a little bit for you tonight. Is that okay? So let's ask a question. What's God's purpose for my life? What's God's purpose? I don't know if you've ever asked it. Maybe you have. Maybe you've wondered it. But often sometimes when dealing with people in the church environment or just in life generally, purpose seems to be kind of at the back of people's minds. Why am I here? I mean, if we tell a younger generation, you came from nothing, you're going to nothing, and we expect you to live in the middle with a great sense of purpose. You know, if people come from nothing, you're just a random bunch of cells that got lucky out of the ocean. The environments were interesting. The Big Bang happened. A whole lot of cosmic this, atoms and neutrons, and you're just you just got lucky. And by the way, you're not going anywhere. When you die, and dust to dust and ashes to ashes. And so you came from nothing, or you came from a random bunch of whatevers, and you go into nothing. There's nothing beyond the grave. And then we expect people to live on planet Earth with conviction and clarity and purpose. No, you speak life into your children. And even if your start was rubbish, tragic, terrible, horrendous, God promises you in His Word, hey, if they didn't plan you, I did. And I love that God always speaks to our potential and to our future, and He puts hope in our hearts. So I'm not worried about your start. I'm just saying you're here today. But I am saying, could you consider maybe where you're going? And so these are the thoughts. What's God's purpose for my life? So I want to challenge you tonight to think about this. What's God's purpose for my life? And I want to challenge this thought tonight. And if you could just think about it, instead of saying, what's God's purpose for my life? I would dare you to say this. What's God's purpose? Full stop. And I'm going to line my life up with that purpose. You see, when you live your life with what's God's purpose for my life? I don't know. What's God's purpose for my life? I don't know. I just know this, when it feels like it's out there, and it's not clear, and it's a bit fuzzy, and it's a little bit like mysterious, and it's like a little bit, it builds anxiety into people. I found more people frustrated because they never really know. And it's a little bit bumpy kind of approach. It's a little bit like hit and miss kind of approach. In other words, I'm not really sure. So there's no real convictions. There's no real confidence. It kind of lacks faith, but it has a whole lot of frustrations. You never feel like it's coping up. You know, maybe you feel like this is what God's purpose for your life, but it doesn't open up for you. And maybe you feel like, well, I need to help God, like Abraham. Maybe I need to help God with the promise that He gave over my life. And so, you know, Sarah's kind of all busy right now, so let's have a look at someone else. Oh, yep, there you go, Ishmael. God never planned for an Ishmael. He wanted an Isaac. But sometimes we feel like we want to birth a whole lot of, we want to help God with the dream, and we want to help God with the ideas and the aspirations. And God, I've been praying for this job, and I'm not waiting any longer. Get your act together, God. I mean, none of you would do that in Preston, but maybe in London they get a bit bossy, you know, a little bit cheeky. And they're reminding, yeah, I don't know, but sometimes when you go down the road of mystery, what's God's plan for my life? What's God's purpose for my life? What's God's will for my life? It builds a spirit of frustration. I've met lots of believers that are frustrated. And they're trying to open doors that God didn't open. And they're trying to force things that God is not forcing. And it just leads to more frustration, more anger. And they get annoyed. And there's no peace in their lives. There's nothing around them that is exciting or attractive. They actually put people off. But if you were to switch from what's God's purpose, full stop, and say, I'm going to line my life up with that purpose, you just might be surprised how you'll lower the frustration and you'll start enjoying the freedom. So let me give you an example. What is God's purpose? Full stop, and I'm going to line my life up with it. Well, I think it's pretty clear, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. So what's God's purpose? That humanity is reconciled to God. So instead of getting your life, What's God's purpose for my life? Me, myself, and I, moi. I'm his chosen one. I'm his special one. Well, you are special. You are his chosen one. You are a big deal. There's no doubt about it. But I want you to know, this is his purpose. Humanity reconciled. So just do this. What's God's purpose? Full stop. And I'm going to line my life up with that purpose. What is that purpose? Humanity's reconciliation. So what's your life about right now? Humanity's reconciliation. But I want to be a doctor. Oh, so here we go again. Mystery tour happening. So a doctor can't help people with God's plan of reconciliation. See, what we do is we start to play games. It's only people that stand at the front with a microphone in a church that's serving God. Where do we get that from? You turn up to work tomorrow, hopefully, in Jesus' name, on time, before time. Not too late. You're serving God. You're helping at a hospital. You're serving God. You're designing buildings. You're serving God. You're an engineer fixing problems. You're solving God. Maybe you're just raising your kids. You're serving God. Maybe it is that you're a creator, a designer, a movie maker, a storyteller, a script writer. I don't know what it is, but we in Christ are serving God. So what I'm trying to say is instead of living your life narrow, he opens up the possibilities. Let me tell you straight up, it is an exclusive faith. Jesus didn't say there's many ways to heaven. He said one way. Don't be offended by it. In a pluralistic society, we hate that. We want options. We don't want narrow. We want broad. We love the language. Oh, I'm searching. Oh, so am I. Oh, I'm spiritual. Oh, so am I. But you move from searching to found. What do you mean found? We've gone from broad to narrow. Yeah. We don't like that. We like broad. We don't like narrow. I want to select from 100 people, not one. And then this is what Jesus does. He doesn't give us the option. He says, I'm the only way. Yeah. I'm the only one who died for you. Yeah. I'm the only one who paid the price of sin for your life. Yeah. Buddha didn't die for you. Muhammad didn't die for you. Jimmy didn't die for you. Yeah. Whatever the names are, didn't die for you. Yeah. And I want you to understand this is what it is. It's an exclusive faith, but it doesn't limit your life. It opens up the possibilities. You don't have less things to do when you become a Christian. You have more things to do because you're a believer. Get this stinking thinking out of our mentalities that it's a tightrope kind of faith. What happens if I'm called to marry Angela and I choose to marry Renata? This is what we do with our lives. Yeah. God, is it Renata or is it Angela? Or maybe it's Paula. Oh, Lord. The prayer requests come in. Because we're all suddenly in this complex thinking like it's a mystery. Yeah. I don't know. Do you like Paula? Yeah. Do you like Angela? Do you like Renata? Yeah. They're all lovely. So what I'm trying to say is we make it complicated and like, Lord, what's your will? Well, like I said, God's more interested in who you're becoming than who you marry. Yeah. See, in Christ, you have 100% freedom. Yeah. But he also gives you 100% wisdom. Yeah. If you give your young child, maybe 14, 12, or maybe younger, you give them the keys to your car, hey, they might be able to know how to move it. They got the freedom. They found the keys. But they'll probably kill themselves, or they'll probably kill someone else, or they'll probably hurt someone, or they'll probably damage your pride and joy. But the point I'm making is that God doesn't put us in freedom and not equal that freedom with wisdom. So what am I basically saying is you're free to marry who you want. However, wisdom says be wise who you marry. You're free to marry, to live wherever you want. Is the will of God for me and Joyce to be in Berlin? We chose Berlin. Yeah. If I'd have been asking God, please reveal your will about Berlin, we might not have ever moved. And I think that's the tragedy of sometimes a religious side of this whole story is that we sit there waiting and God's already made it revealed. He's already said, get on with it. What do you want to do? Well, is God calling me to be a teacher? I don't know. Do you like to teach? No, not really. Well, he's probably not calling you to teach. Oh, is God calling me to be, a kindergarten worker or a children's worker? Well, do you like children? No, not really. Well, he's probably not going to put you in around the children because that would not be a good thing. He's not going to get you to do something that you hate. Yes. And this is where I want you to kind of think about it tonight. Yeah, maybe simple. But sometimes, you know what? The simple things are obtainable and they actually help build strength into our relationship. So listen, I want to just help you understand, what is God's purpose? Full stop. And I'm going to line my life up with that purpose. If God's purpose is restoration of humanity, the reconciliation of humanity, then what does that mean? Then I'm going to line my life up with helping outwork God's purposes. In other words, I'm going to be a part. So maybe directly you don't lead anyone to Christ, but you can be a part of a church that does. It's sometimes so easy, but we make it complicated. What's God's call for my life? This is another one that you hear. What's God calling me to do? Am I called to Nicaragua? Am I called to Peru? Am I called to Timbuktu? I don't know. There is sometimes a clear calling where God just says, but it's not a mystery. It's not some kind of random stuff. Often the call of God, and let me do it again. What's God's call for my life? There you go again. You're making it about you. Can I encourage you? What's God's call? Full stop. Everyone say, full stop.
Full stop.
And I'm going to line my life up with that call. What's God's call? Full stop. And I'm going to line my life up with that call. And I'll tell you straight up again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen people, you're a royal priesthood, a royal holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his marvelous, wonderful light. So straight away, what's the call of God? To come out of the darkness, to come into the light. What's the call of God for your life? To come out of the darkness and get into the light. In other words, come out of this darkness of not knowing him and come into the light of I know him. In other words, it's not that hard. It's not rocket science because we're not building rockets. We're just trying to help people realize your best days are ahead of you serving God. Amen? What's God's call for my life? No. What's God's call? Full stop. And I'm going to line my life up with that call. What's that call? To come out of the darkness into the light. In other words, my life is about staying out of the darkness and staying in the light. Now you're in the light. Now what do I do? Shine. Shine. So what does God do? He takes you out of the darkness. He puts you in the light. And then he kicks you back out into the darkness to shine. Everyone say, shine. 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 Some of you didn't say anything. Come on, everyone together.
Shine.
Oh, you're going to make it hard for me tonight, are you? Come on, I'm trying to help you. Help yourself. It's not a mystery. He takes you out of darkness, he puts you into his promise, and then he kicks you back out into the darkness to shine. And it's that simple. So I'm going to line my life up. Let me give you another one. What's God's will for my life? What's God's will for my life? There you go again. What's God's will? Full stop. And I'm going to line my life up with that will. Okay, so what is will? It says, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for God knew his people in advance and he chose them to be like, I've run out of time. I'm going to finish with this then. God's will and for God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son. He chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn as an example of humanity restored among many believers. So what's God's will, full stop? I'm going to line my life up, okay? I'm going to line my life up with his will. His will is for you and I to become like Christ. So okay, well, I want to be an engineer. Go be an engineer, but be like Christ as an engineer. Don't have cards, I'm a Christian engineer. Stop that. I'm a Christian DJ. Oh, God help us. Yeah, just stop that, all right? I'm an engineer, and hopefully by God's grace, with his help, I'm becoming like Christ. I'm an architect. Yeah, great. Becoming like Christ. In other words, I have a great company, The wisdom of God helps me to get ideas about buildings. I'm a good boss to my employees. And you know what? If I didn't have Christ, I'd be a miserable boss. So again, it's not a mystery. There's a lot of freedom in serving God. It's not about getting the call to be a pastor. Sometimes it's just simply understanding we're all serving God and we just got to enjoy the freedom. So let me help you understand. It's just about becoming like Christ in Jesus' name. His plan is not a mystery. His will is not a mystery. It's not a tightrope type of faith. What happens if you do marry Paula? And poor Angela's over here, completely missing the purposes of God for life because you, unspiritual one, chose to marry Paula. Have we really messed the plan of God up that easily? Is the will of God that easily messed up? Yeah. 3 years into it, you're like, no, Paula, you're the wrong one. I'm running to Angela. Now it's even more complicated. And now we've embarrassed ourselves, made God look like an idiot, and nobody wants to follow our faith. It's not a mystery. Yeah. Come on, say it with me. It's not a mystery. Oh, I love this stuff because it brings liberty. Now you're in Christ. What do you want to do? Shine. Can you shine as an engineer? Can you shine as an architect? Can you shine as a hairdresser? Can you shine as a drummer? Well, you can sure sweat as a drummer, but hopefully we can shine too. Can you shine as a wonderful person who knows Jesus? It's not about so much what you say, it's who you are, it's who you know, and bring his fragrance into the marketplace, bring his fragrance into Monday, bring his fragrance into the schools, bring his fragrance into anywhere that you find yourself. But please do yourself a favor and stop the religious talk and the super spiritual nonsense. It just puts people off. It's a glorious call, it's a glorious purpose, and it's pretty clear. I'm going to line my life up with his plan, his will, his purpose. In other words, now I got so much more freedom to serve God. And I want you to understand it's a broad, broad life, not a narrow, narrow, narrow life. All right? He turns our wrongs into rights. If we face a bend in the road and we fail to make the turn, sometimes that happens. God has an ability to get you back on the road. And I want you to know, stop being fearful about the plan, the purpose, and the will of God for your life. It's not a mystery. It's pretty clear. Reconciliation of humanity. Darkness to light. Helping us to shine. Realize he's put us in Christ. The greatest plan that God has ever put into planet Earth is we are in Christ. Now you're in Christ. Enjoy your freedom. And do something to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Well, I've run out of time, and forgive me if I've gone over time. I can't figure out your clocks, but never mind. You've done amazing listening to and absorbing all of this, but I really trust that you'll come out of this weekend with a greater passion, a greater enthusiasm, a greater level of faith for who you are, where you're going, and what you get to do to serve God. And I pray when you go to work on Monday, there'll be a sense of more for your life, and you'll take the purposes of God into all that you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Freedom in your walk with God. Freedom in your walk with God. 100% freedom, 100% wisdom. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.